Welcome back to The Cabin Podcast. I'm Andrea Belke.
And I'm Megan Christian.
The Cabin is brought to you by the Wisconsin Counties Association and the WCA Group Health Trust. And we're in Thanksgiving week this week, which is really exciting, Megan.
Yes. Do you like Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I don't like turkey, so I feel like this is kind of not my week.
Wow.
But I love being with family.
Mm-hmm.
But the food aspect is what we're talking about
today. Well, I think that's perfect because a lot of people have issues with turkey, I feel. And we actually have somebody on the podcast that's going to help us with maybe some twists to Thanksgiving dinner or, you know, ideas for hosting. I know that it can be kind of stressful for people this time of year to kind of plan ahead and, mm-hmm. you know, host your family. That can always bring some...
It's my first Thanksgiving hosting my family.
Oh, you're hosting?
I'm hosting.
Wow.
In my tiny little one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah. Well, that's perfect because we have some great tips. So today we have a wonderful cook, right? She cooks. She shows recipes on her Instagram. It's at Cooking with Kelly. And she's going to give us some tips for Thanksgiving. So everybody welcome Kelly Culkins. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So you must love this time of year, right?
Oh, it's my favorite. This is when I thrive. Yes. I am right at home in the holiday season.
Do you tend to go toward the pumpkin and apple flavored things, or what's your opinion on those? Typically, people either love them or hate them.
I love them. I eat that stuff up every year. I mean, I'm a very seasonal cooker, seasonal chef. So whatever's in season, I'll kind of make work. But any sort of kind of like kitschy flavor, pumpkin spice, apple, peppermint, I love it. I can't help it.
Well, I'm so excited to have you on. I found you on Instagram and it's a great resource for people. I feel like the shorter recipes and that kind of format is really easy for people to get inspired. So can you kind of just give us an overview of who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So my name's Kelly. I actually live in Milwaukee. So very excited to be Wisconsin based. Grew up in Oshkosh. I fell in love with cooking just throughout my whole life. I was raised by a bunch of Midwest Martha Stewarts. So hosting, cooking, it was all just in my blood. I was always in the kitchen with my mom, my grandma, my dad. And of course, even extended family was, you know, hosting Packer games. It was just food centric and we loved it. When I got to college, I kind of started having some health issues around food. So it really taught me how to be resourceful, how to cook seasonally and integrate a lot of whole foods in a very accessible way. So that's really where I fell in love with it. And then just as I kept growing up and I started hosting and I started getting more involved in my community, it just really became such a passion for me.
Okay. Wait, you said your dad. So does your dad cook as well?
Everybody cooks.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. I hate to say, my family, I fear, is very traditional and my dad does not cook. He will, really? He'll get on the grill though.
My dad used to be a chef. Wow. Actually.
Whoa.
Yeah, at like a bunch of different restaurants. He did everything from catering to fine dining. So I think I also love to cook. I am begging to make dinner every night. Mm-hmm. And if my boyfriend makes dinner, he's like, I can make us mac and cheese. I'm like, it's not good enough for me. I will cook.
Wait, that's so – I don't think we've ever talked about cooking.
I don't think we have.
Yeah,
you don't then.
No.
No.
I am not proud of it, but I am not a cook. I'm not very patient. And I don't know. It's just always me. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's just me. So to go through the whole rigmarole, I'd rather just make a sandwich and be done with it.
Yeah, you're like a girl dinner. You're more of like a gatherer.
Yeah. Than a yeah, I'm a gatherer. I like that. Yeah, I just gather things.
No one ever hated on a girl dinner. I have my pretzels and Nutella once in a while for dinner.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. But in terms of Thanksgiving food, yeah, I am not a huge fan. I don't know. Okay, there's a couple things I like. Let me think. I like potatoes.
I love the mashed potatoes. Classic.
The turkey, I don't know.
I can't get behind the turkey.
Really?
Really.
So I was going to ask if maybe you just haven't had good turkey, but knowing your dad's a chef, I feel like that probably was not the case.
I'm not like a meat person really in general. Okay, sure. And so the birds really freak me out.
No birds for you. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
I like meat. I don't know. I just feel like a lot of times people do kind of overcook the turkey or it's too dry, right?
Mm-hmm. I think the sides really shine on Thanksgiving. I think the turkey's just there for like tradition.
Yeah.
Even ham, I'm just like, nah, it's okay. Like my plate is like 5% of the meat and then it's like 95% of the other goods.
I think half of my plate is normally mashed potatoes.
as and stuffing.
Do you have any twists for Thanksgiving food that you like to kind of bring out?
That's a great question. I feel like Thanksgiving, we think of it as just being so traditional. It's kind of hard to like integrate some of those twists in there. But I definitely think there's opportunity. You know, we can kind of make things a little bit better with fresh herbs, lemon juice, flaky salt, whatever it is, just kind of adding that extra taste. I want to get rid of Midwest being seen as the bland food area. I think we have a lot of potential here. And it's just being kind of smart with our flavors and mixing and matching. I mean, there's so many recipe bloggers now where you're just like, wow, like, let's elevate our mac and cheese. Let's elevate our dinner rolls. It's more than just, you know, plain flavors these days.
Yeah. So what's in your ideal Thanksgiving food lineup?
Ooh, like my dream plate. That's a great question. Turkey, again, for the sentimentality of it. I can't help it. But mashed potatoes, like you said, is a classic. But they have to be like good mashed potatoes. Like I want some garlic in there. Oh, I want some fresh butter. Things like that. Mac and cheese is really kind of, I think, made its way up from like the South into the Midwest. So
is that now a Thanksgiving thing?
I think it is. Yeah.
Okay.
There was a very viral Thanksgiving like mac and cheese recipe last year. Teenies mac and cheese. Yes. And that one really like the type of pasta that she used was like sold out at every grocery store.
It's like the cavatappi swirly noodle. I just watched her new recipe yesterday.
Yes.
And I think I'm going to make it.
As you should. Yeah. So love mac and cheese, a dinner roll. I'm just talking about carbs. Like that's all this is. Yes.
As we should be. Yes. I need a nap after.
Exactly. And like a dinner roll, I think you could make like a cinnamon butter, kind of like what we see at some restaurants, really elevate it that way. And then cranberry. I think it's just a nice little burst of fresh and acid that helps make the plate a little bit less bland.
Yeah. So. Are you going cranberry sauce, cranberry jelly, or fresh cranberries?
I like cranberry relish.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is like another kind of traditional, but I don't think we see it a lot in Wisconsin, but you kind of just like blend it up with some like orange zest. And then it just becomes more of like a texture thing rather than just like the can of jelly that we plop upside down. So. Yeah.
Ooh. I have been going so crazy with cranberry jelly. I got some from Ellenbox Cheese Chalet in DeForest. Check it out. But I now I'm using cranberry jelly on sandwiches. Love. So it could be – so I do actually I do turkey, but it's sliced turkey from the deli. But sliced turkey with cranberry jelly instead of mayonnaise and then cheese and maybe avocado. And it's just so good.
That sounds so good. Like some brie on there too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my newest thing. So you're hosting this year, right?
I'm not hosting. Okay. No. Because of the family of Midwest Marthas, I actually don't really get to host. It's kind of a fight between like my mom and my aunt, or if we go to like my boyfriend's family, but I do always contribute dishes. I try to kind of sneak my way in, but it's quite literally a battle with my family. I think we see that a lot. Like everyone kind of has their like very traditional like Thanksgiving's always at mom's or aunt's or whatever it is, but it's hard in my family. We all have to fight for it.
Yeah. So I do have a Thanksgiving story. When I was – this is what my family loves to tell this story. So when I was 16 years old, right, I just got my license. And I don't know about you guys. When I got my license, I was a little cocky about it.
Oh, you wanted to drive everywhere.
Oh, yeah. You know how to get everywhere. Whatever. It's your whole personality as it is when you're 16 in Wisconsin. But – for Thanksgiving, we always go to my aunt's, and that is just outside of Oostburg, and it's kind of in the country, like a farmhouse. And my family said, oh, Andrea, do you want to drive separately since I was coming from basketball practice? Which, why did I have basketball practice on Thanksgiving? That's nuts.
But we need to talk to Random League School District.
That was the vibe, I guess. So I drove myself, and my mom said, oh, do you need directions? And I laughed in her face going, what? To directions to my aunts that we've gone every year since I was born. No. So I drive there. What was I driving? Probably, oh, my Chevy Suburban.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. It was like this old Chevy Suburban. And I pull into my aunts and I am driving by. I see a kid waving to me through the big window and I pull up, cars everywhere. There was randomly a school bus, which was the one thing I didn't understand. I'm like, who drives a school bus? Weird. Or I didn't really realize why there would be one there, but didn't think much of it. So I go inside, open the door. The first person I see was someone I didn't recognize, but I thought, oh, okay, that's like a girlfriend of, you know, one of the cousins. We have a huge family. So I keep walking in. I'm in the main room. I go straight to the food because I'm starving.
Oh, no.
And I grab a plate, and I'm not even kidding. I had a plate in my hand, and I start looking around, and I didn't recognize anybody.
Were they looking at you?
Yes. And I look around and I realize I'm, and I even said out loud, I said, oh my gosh, I think I'm at the wrong Thanksgiving. And everyone was laughing. They were like, how, oh, what? And they were like, you can have some food. I'm like, no, I have a party to go to. But I was so, like, this house, the setup was the exact same.
Oh my
some
gosh.
Of those farmhouses out in rural Wisconsin, mm-hmm. each house has the same driveway, the same barn.
Yeah, they're all kind of built the same.
Yep.
Yeah, so what happened was I walked into this random house, this random Thanksgiving. It was the door. It was the next door over. So oh. it was just their neighbors. So everyone was getting a kick out of it there. They offered me food. I said, no, I'm good. And I was embarrassed. And then I went to my party and I said, you'll never believe what happened. Oh, and then my family thought it was so funny. And so like years after that, my dad and I would go back to that family's party.
Oh my God,
just to say, oh, remember when I came over here?
So I feel like it says a lot about the nature of your family that you thought a school bus in the driveway was normal.
Yeah. I just didn't think much of it. You know?
I love it. Well, because you're like, there's so many people in my family. This could totally be plausible.
Yeah.
That there's school bus here.
Maybe they're driving school buses now. I don't know.
You know, all these German Catholics love to have all the kids. So it could have just been the shuttle.
That's so funny. That was always that's the Thanksgiving story I think my parents tell every year. Thanksgiving.
Well, that kind of perfect holiday for that to happen.
I was
going to
say, like, do you have any favorite Thanksgiving traditions that you do with your family?
We love a Thanksgiving cocktail. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that, you know, growing up, once I hit 21, we always contributed. My mom and I are, like I said, we're such hosts and things. So she was always like, you can be in charge of this. Because I used to bartend at like a dive bar in college. Who didn't?
Oh my God.
And it would always be some like mimosa with cranberries and like you had in the frozen cranberries. So you feel fancy. But that's kind of what my favorite tradition was in my later years. I think growing up, it was just being with everybody. You know, there was always some sort of football game on. All the cousins. We have a ton of cousins around the same age. So we'd all just like hang out, play football in the yard, play whatever game we're playing. And it was just really nice to be together. And that was kind of my like tradition that we loved. We were never a turkey trot family. Thank God.
We need to address turkey trotters.
If
what
my
do we think?
Family made me run, I would hate them.
I
confidently can say
that. I'm going to say this. I love a turkey trot.
Hot take.
Any form of physical activity that morning, get me out of there.
I did the turkey trot last year in Milwaukee, I'll do it again.
Oh,
do you get the pie with it?
Oh, did it come with a pie?
Yeah, so Festival Foods, kind of, you know, the classic in Wisconsin. They would give out little, like, mini pumpkin pies where I grew up in Oshkosh if you did the turkey trot. So a lot of people would do it for that reason.
What the heck? They did not offer me a pie.
You got scammed. You got scammed.
Well, now I feel like we had to talk about pies. Do you guys like pumpkin pie?
Yes.
You do?
I do. Yeah.
I can have it in small increments, but there has to be more whipped cream than the pie.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With like a little like after dinner espresso shot.
Okay. I love pecan pie.
Pecan.
Pecan or pecan?
Oh.
What is it?
Okay. Well, let me think about this. Okay. Wait. I have to cleanse the palate, right?
Cleanse the palate.
Okay. Pecan. Oh, there's three ways to say it. How do you say it?
Pecan pie.
I would say pecan pie.
Pecan.
Pecan.
No, wait, this is hot take.
Whoa.
Oh, no.
Okay, cabin listeners, how do you say P-E-C-A-N?
Pecan pie.
How do you say it? I say, I'm saying it with pie, I think I say pecan pie.
Pecan
pie. But if I'm saying just the word, I think it's just pecan.
Why does it? I feel like on this podcast, we always run into this where a word
Racine,
comes up.
Racine.
Oh, yeah.
There's another pecan, one recently, pecan. Too. Well, we do have, let's ask our audio guy. Gavin is in today. Gavin, you've heard several options here. This is a very highly contested topic. How do you say P-E-C-A-N?
Pecan pie.
Like me?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Easily.
Mm-hmm. Option three. I'm about to get ripped apart in the comments, but I stand by it. It's
me
fine.
Too. I think I say it that way because my grandpa says it that way, but he's from way up north. So maybe it's like a youper thing.
Yeah.
It's all regional, right? It's all the same thing. We all know what we're talking about at the end of the day.
Actually, do you want to know my favorite Thanksgiving tradition? And this has recently become a family tradition for us. We love to go to the Chris Kindle Market.
Cute.
And they have a polka band the night before Thanksgiving every year. And me and my family get out there, get a few, whatever the German beer is called. I don't want to get it wrong. I think they're called Hofbräus, but don't just check me on that. Fact check me.
Okay.
But we love to get those or some wine and then just go crazy dancing to polka music.
Wait, that's so fun.
And so Wisconsin.
Like, so wait, when is that? That's right before Thanksgiving?
So the one that I go to, that's like the Oconomowoc one, and it's Thanksgiving weekend, but I believe it starts Wednesday. So normally it's Blackout Wednesday.
Okay. That's the other tradition.
Yeah. So then you gotta go hit the bars afterwards. But it's like me and all of my cousins, second cousins, great aunts, uncles, grandparents, mom. Like, it's nuts.
Okay, what is Blackout Wednesday?
Let me enlighten you.
I fear I'm too old for this.
Well, it's not for everybody because not everybody drinks. But mm-hmm. Blackout Wednesday is when you get absolutely obliterated the day before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Typically, it's with the cousins. But
I didn't know about this.
Yeah, and then you kind of go on your hangover walk the next day with the cousins.
While you're doing the hangover walk, I'm doing the turkey trot.
Right. So this is where we don't align.
That is so funny. I feel like Blackout Wednesday, too, is when you kind of run into everyone that you knew in high school.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you all go to, like, the towny dive bar and you're spending $2 on a Bud Light. And then you're like, wait, like, I knew her in high school and now she has 6 kids. Like, good for her. But still, it's like, this is crazy.
I know. It's kind of just a recollection of everything that's ever happened to you in a really weird setting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely have had that because I moved away for a while. And then when I would come back for holidays, Thanksgiving, it was always, you're right. I just didn't have the name to it, but it was always the night before Thanksgiving, you go out to that local dive bar in, for me, Random Lake, Wisconsin.
I love it.
And you see everybody.
Yeah. I feel like it needs a rebrand. Like,
yeah,
a grown up version of Blackout Wednesday.
Yeah, because I feel like we are moving away from the blackout kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I can confidently say I've never truly blacked out. So, like, ever drinking. So,
that's good.
For me, it doesn't really align with me either, but I like saying, yeah, it's Blackout Wednesday. Let's all go out.
It's a stories for a different podcast. Yes,
I love it. That's the tradition.
Yeah. Do you have, maybe you already said it, but like a favorite Thanksgiving tradition that you do?
Yes. So now that we kind of have reflected a little bit more on it, it would just be, of course, seeing all my family. I think it's such a blessing to have so many like generations in one household. It's so special and really limited as to how often we get to do it. I would definitely say I'm going to cross holidays here. But it's like decorating for Christmas the next day. I count Thanksgiving to be that whole weekend, right? We all typically get Friday off of work. But like once that's done, you kind of have the leftovers for breakfast and lunch and dinner. And then you decorate for Christmas.
Another hot topic here. When does the Christmas tree go up?
So if I had one in my house, it would be up already. My Christmas decorations and my fall decorations are kind of overlapping right now, and my house is a mix of orange and red and it looks horrible, but I have started decorating for Christmas.
Okay,
so as of November 1st.
Oh wow, so November 1st hits, you start decorating for Christmas.
Yes, I do.
Hallmark would love you.
I know.
Wow. I really start decorating, I would say, more like winter in November, but then Christmas really does come out right after Thanksgiving.
So you at least give Thanksgiving its moment.
Yeah, I have to. I mean, it's a food-based holiday, and food is my whole personal brand, so.
Right.
Yeah. I'm very different. I wait until the last possible second. My family, we are so bad with holidays, and I love my family, and we sometimes will get the tree the night before. We will
Okay, so you go and get a tree then.
So we will go on the farm and just go cut down a tree.
Yeah.
And I'm usually going to Hobby Lobby. So usually the tree is more like a branch.
Because the Charlie Brown kind Christmas
of
tree.
Falling, the pines are all falling.
Yeah,
off at
and
that
just
point.
The you know, when you get a tree from a Christmas farm, those trees are looking nice. They are dialed in. But real pine trees, especially smaller ones that can fit in your house, they're scraggly. They're a Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we get it maybe a day before. Well, basically, everyone will be home for Christmas and we'll go, we should probably get a tree, right? We just are not good about that.
Do you have any Christmas tree farm shout outs? where do you normally go for it?
Or we go to our farm. We go to our farm.
Oh, you have your own farm.
Yeah, okay. we just go to the woods.
Okay,
yeah.
So Belky Christmas Tree Farm, you heard it here first.
It's not a real Christmas tree. Please don't come to our land and just start taking trees.
I have one, actually. So
really?
My cousins own a Christmas tree farm in Wild Rose, Wisconsin, where my parents live. It's called Hansen Family Choose and Cut.
Wait, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I wrote like a newspaper article on Christmas tree farms last year, and I think that was one of them.
Oh, it's so sweet. They're a multi-generation family Christmas tree farm, just the nicest people you will ever meet, and they have such beautiful trees. They are just really, really wonderful. And Wild Rose is just like kind of central Wisconsin, teeny tiny little town, but they really have a great community. So
do you typically get a real tree then?
I did for a really long time, but as I was renting, we couldn't have a real Christmas tree. But now that my boyfriend and I own a home, we will be getting a real Christmas tree.
Okay, so you are a real tree. I'm real tree if we even get one. What about you?
I can't have a real tree. So I have to, you know, like I said, go to Hobby Lobby and get the really pretty ones to make up for the fact that it's not a real tree.
So beautiful.
I'm kind of loving that everyone's different. Gavin?
I have a tinsel tree at my house.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
And when do you when do you start decorating for Christmas?
It has to be after Thanksgiving. You have to pay respect there.
Pay homage.
Okay, well, before we move on to maybe different restaurants for the holidays, I do want to get your take on Thanksgiving drinks or holiday drinks, because something I think you do really well is coming up with these drink recipes. So,
oh, that's so fun.
Do you have your favorite Wisconsin holiday drink?
Yes. And what I really do is I take a lot of like classic drink recipes and just add in some seasonal flavors. So if we're making old fashions, obviously sweet, sour, whiskey, bourbon, brandy, whatever you want to do, you can always add in a splash of apple cider or a splash of cranberry juice. And that kind of really kind of takes it to the next step and gives it that little seasonal flair. Same with something like a mimosa during breakfast, right? Just any sort of seasonal juice. And then at the end of the day, if you're doing something very classic Wisconsin, we have our Tom and Jerry, we have our hot buttered rum. I love a good seasonal holiday drink, especially after dinner as like a little nightcap. But we love making Tom and Jerry's. Or brandy slush is also a very popular one.
We do the brandy slush.
Yes.
What is a Tom and Jerry though? Because I've actually never heard of that.
I need to fact check it. My uncle makes it every year. New recipe on Cooking with Kelly. It's more of like a cream-based hot drink.
Okay.
So you would, sometimes I think it's like melted ice cream in there, but you can buy like a blend of it. My uncle always buys it, and he's kind of like the one that passes it out every year. But it's very good. It's kind of nutmeggy, kind of cinnamon, that kind of flavor.
Okay.
But really, really tasty.
So I have one for you. Have you, and this is like so classic, but it's one of like one that I did at the country club during the holidays when I bartended there. I'm not a fireball person, but using fireball in an old fashioned to make it, give it that cinnamon type of flavor.
I'd be so down. And you came out with like an apple cinnamon one for the holidays too. So like a little extra flair in there. I'm all for that. That sounds great.
Wow. So you said you do a like kind of a new cocktail at Thanksgiving every year. Do you have it picked out what you're going to do this year?
We do. We're doing a cranberry punch. Ooh. So the base is like a cranberry juice. Then we're doing a ton of like, it's kind of like a sangria. So we're going to do like a red wine in there. We're doing cranberries. We're doing fresh orange slices, some cinnamon sticks. And we're going to add in a little bit of vodka because a good sangria has a little mix of everything. Yes. And then cranberry juice in there too. So like a sweet red wine.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really, really good.
So good.
I might accidentally walk into your house.
I'll just accidentally text you the address.
Oh my gosh.
That's so fun. Okay. And then even though you're not technically hosting, you probably picked up a lot of tips along the way. And I know like you like to host other parties and stuff, but can you give us your favorite Wisconsin holiday hosting tips?
Yes, absolutely. So one thing I would always recommend is, and this is something too, if you're not hosting, you can just bring it and impress everybody, make your own butter. It is so, so simple. It's literally one ingredient, and it's heavy whipping cream. You just whip it for about 10 to 15 minutes, and it separates the buttermilk and then the butter fats, which then becomes our butter. You can set the buttermilk aside and have it for buttermilk pancakes the next day. And then you have your butter solids, which you would then add salt to, or rosemary, or even something like cinnamon, honey, maple syrup. And you have homemade butter, which will just stand out. And we make it with, obviously, Wisconsin cream. Delicious.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. I mean, okay, when you say make your own butter, I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting the churner out.
Yes, yes, and your prairie dress on.
But you would just go buy some butter and make sure it's, mm-hmm. like, because you do a lot of stuff locally sourced, too.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I always make sure it says, you know, Proudly Wisconsin. All of our, like, cream or cheese or whatever it is here will have, like, a Proudly Wisconsin sticker on it.
I love that. Make your own butter. Never mm-hmm. even thought of that as an option.
Because mm-hmm. you have to then press it, right?
Yes. Yeah, so
I might try that this
clean
year.
Clean hands, and then you mm-hmm. press it, and you want to, like, do, like, an ice bath. So, okay, from scratch, we have our heavy cream. We're putting it in a stand mixer or a hand mixer, and we just beat it for, like I said, 10 to 15 minutes, and then you'll get the two kind of like solids. So it's a liquid and then a solid. Mm-hmm. And you'll take that solid out and you put it in an ice bath and you massage it and you squeeze it because you want all of the buttermilk out of it. Otherwise, it spoils faster. Mm-hmm. So once that's all clean, you're then shaping it, adding in your flaky salt or whatever you're adding into it. And then if you wrap it in parchment, it would last in your fridge for about 2 weeks. But for Thanksgiving, you'll probably go through it so quick.
So you can add stuff. You could add maple syrup or something. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. This mm-hmm. is amazing.
Yeah. Wait. Like a little garlic and herb moment.
Yes, absolutely. My mom is going to be shook this year when I walk in. As somebody with that doesn't fresh cook, butter. And I say, oh, mm-hmm. I made my own butter. Mm-hmm. What about that?
They're going to be like, well, we have some in the fridge, actually.
Okay, so make your own butter. Any mm-hmm. other tips?
I do. Same ingredients. So heavy whipping cream here. You can make your own whipped cream. So if maybe you're like a Costco pumpkin pie person, which no shame, they make incredible pumpkin pies. Bring your own whipped cream. Again, heavy whipping cream. You're just whipping it for 2 to 3 minutes. Infuse it with maple syrup, which I did bring you guys some today. Or honey or cinnamon. And then just imagine you're like, I brought the pumpkin pie and some homemade maple whipped cream. Okay, Ina Garten. Like, let's go. Like, people are going to be so impressed.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
That's another tip.
The Cabin is brought to you by the Wisconsin Counties Association, and this week we are featuring Greene County. Greene County is just an hour from Madison and is the heart of Wisconsin's Swiss cheese heritage, where you can still watch cheesemakers at work. Monroe is the county seat and proudly calls itself the Swiss cheese capital of the U.S. You also don't want to miss the National Historic Cheesemaking Center, where you can learn how Wisconsin became the dairy state. When you're there, stroll through downtown Monroe, grab a pint at Minhas Craft Brewery, one of the oldest breweries in the United States. For outdoor enthusiasts, head to the Sugar River Trail. It's a 23-mile path that winds through farmland and forest and is perfect for a crisp autumn walk. You also have New Glarus, a charming little Swiss village where you'll find chalets, alphorns, and the legendary New Glarus Brewing Company, home of the Spotted Cow. Greene County is a slice of Wisconsin history with a side of Swiss flair. For more, go to wicounties.org.
The Cabin is also brought to you by the WCA Group Health Trust. Serving local governments and school districts, the WCA Group Health Trust partners closely with members to fulfill their employee health benefit obligations in a fiscally responsible manner. Learn more at wcaght.org.
I was kind of curious if you had spots in Wisconsin for sweets or pastries. Do you have any favorite spots?
I do, and I have three. And the best part about this is it's kind of twofold. So if you are visiting somebody for Thanksgiving, this is a great hosting gift as well. The first one is Hugh's Homemade Chocolates in Oshkosh. They do a really wonderful little box of assorted chocolates. You can bring that to your host. They can put it out with dessert. So, so delicious. Just really nice, high quality, family owned for so many years. A really, really great place to support.
And actually, we had somebody on Wonderfully Wisconsin who is so amazing, and he goes to all these little places. So Hugh's is actually a speakeasy because it just looks like a regular house. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of have to, you go to the basement, and he brought in some of the chocolate and it was so delicious.
Can
so
confirm good. Would make an amazing gift.
Yes, that's great.
The other two I have are actually both in Milwaukee. Sorry, I know. So the one that I'm going to say next is called Rocket Baby Bakery. So they're based in Wauwatosa, and they do a ton of different baked goods, but they make incredible croissants. Ooh. So if you bring your host a box of croissants, then they have breakfast the next morning. They don't have to worry about it. And they're just really wonderful, high quality. Looks like they were shipped from France, but you can just tell. They also have a ton of other baked goods there, sweet and savory, but just really nice to do like an assorted box of pastries for your host.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And that you said you had one good. More, right?
I do. And the other one is Ruby's Bagels. So again, kind of same thing, right? You're bringing your host some bagels for the next morning to have with coffee. I think that's just the nice thing to do, especially if someone else is hosting, is you're bringing them a hosting gift that they're not obligated to then put out that night. It's not a bottle of wine. They're like, okay, go open it and put it on the table. Mm-hmm. It's something very intentional for them that makes their life a little bit easier the next morning and really is supporting local, and it just tastes incredible. So
yeah,
bagels, croissants, bakery, and then also chocolate.
So, yeah, those are great. Cool. And I hadn't even heard of the second two. Mm-hmm. Another one I do want to shout out is O&H Danish Bakery, of course. Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong with a Kringle on mm-hmm. a Wisconsin holiday. Totally. So my family has them during the morning with their coffee. Eat them up. So
yeah, I recently had one with you.
Yeah.
And I actually, that was my first Kringle. Well, recently.
we had a Racine Kringle for that one.
But yeah. Well, isn't O&H Bakery, it's in Racine?
It's in Racine, but there's Racine Kringle, and then there's O&H Danish Bakery in Racine. So just wait till you try O&H, because they're both great, but O&H just has that extra touch.
Okay, cool. I'll shout out one. You kind of were talking about European pastries, mm-hmm. and I was recently filming in Princeton, Wisconsin, mm. which is my new favorite town. Have you been? Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed.
So charming.
Yeah, we're gonna probably do just a whole episode on small towns. Yeah. And mm-hmm. Princeton, I was blown away because it's such a great art little town. And then they have this place called Renard's.
Yes.
So, so Renard's, it's basically like a European bake shop. They have also amazing bread and they have tons of different pastries. I was kind of writing this down, the Swiss chocolate almond croissant.
Oh my yeah. God.
Yes. And mm-hmm. they'll have a line out the door, and they have tons of stuff. It's very French influenced. Renard's is actually the name for foxes. Wow. So it's right on the Fox River. So it's the French word for fox, Renard.
I love that.
That's so cute.
So cute.
Good and branding. Oh my God.
It's also just adorable, very mm-hmm. aesthetically pleasing. You walk in, there's also this really cool mural from a local artist and their pastries, croissants, so bread. Good. So good.
Mm-hmm. Josie actually brought a little tin of stuff back from Renard's. And I think it was, do they call it a cronut? Like a croissant donut?
Yes. Yes.
Like a cinnamon sugar. Oh my gosh. My stomach's like crumbling right
now. So if you're in the Princeton area, check that out. A couple of other ones. I just did a random, since I'm not the expert on pastries and sweets, since that's not my go-to. I'm more of a savory person, like I said. But a couple other ones I saw, I was looking at which places in Wisconsin have won awards or have been really highly regarded. You have Stockholm Pie and General Store. They're the recurring winner of America's Best Pie Shop.
Wow. Yeah. And that's right along the Great River Road. So great spot to go for a little road trip.
Cranky Owls in Tosa. Yes. Have you been there?
I haven't been there, but I've seen a lot of things from there. It looks awesome.
So very popular for donuts. Then you have Benson's Bakery in Racine, recognized by Food and Wine as one of America's best bakeries.
I think I have had stuff from there before, from when I went to college in Kenosha, but I don't know that I've actually been to the location.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Then I also had the O&H, and I'm sure there's many more. So let us know if we missed any that you really like.
Yeah.
I do want to ask you this. So this doesn't necessarily have to be a holiday food, but when you think of all the different recipes that you've concocted or like to make, do you have a favorite Wisconsin dish with your own spin on it? So, for example, you know, Wisconsin's known for cheese curds or, you know, brats. Or is there any kind of like typical Wisconsin dish that you had kind of discovered something new for it?
That's a great question. I feel like the one that you can kind of take very traditional but put a spin on it is like a fish fry. So I love doing a fish fry. Obviously, you know, so many families catch a lot of like lake perch, things like that. So what we'll do, or what I would love to do too, is we're making a beer battered perch, very standard, but then you can put a little creme fraiche and caviar on it. I'm telling you, it hits different, and it's very elevated. Of course, that's not like an everyday thing, but it's really fun to just kind of add like additional more like modern twists on stuff like that, especially if it's something like sturgeon caviar. We have so many sturgeon in like Winnebago. It's just kind of like a fun little twist.
Where do you get it from? The caviar?
Whole Foods.
Oh, you just go to Whole Foods and they have caviar. Okay. I mean, obviously you're getting it from somewhere. You're not going out and collecting fish eggs.
But harvesting.
I've never done like a caviar bump, anything like that. I've never had it.
Can you imagine? I'm like, surprise.
Yeah. I think I'd like low-key freak out because they kind of look weird to me.
Yeah. I mean, they're fish eggs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm getting better with being adventurous with foods. I don't know if I'm there yet.
Any awesome. Other, yeah, anything else with the holidays that you want to mention or any tips that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, I would say just a couple tips. So if you are cooking or you're bringing a dish or whatever it is, some things that we can do, especially if you're traveling with a dish and you have to, you know, bring something and you're like, okay, it's hard to get oven space. It's hard to get things like that. Keep it warm. So you can always have a warming drawer. So the drawer under our ovens that we all keep like cookie sheets and mm-hmm. things like that. That is great for keeping dishes warm. You get that residual heat from the oven while it's baking, and maybe you're reheating, you know, green bean casserole or mac and cheese. Just kind of stick it under there for a little bit, you know, 10 to 20 minutes. Keep an eye on it because you don't want it to dry out, but that does keep things warm. The other thing too, to really elevate any dish, right before you serve it, fresh lemon juice or lemon zest, flaky salt, and fresh herbs. It really just elevates mm-hmm. everything, and it's super easy. I mean, lemons are like 69 cents at a grocery store. So just make sure you're doing a little zest over the top will make everything feel really bright and fresh.
Also, we wanted to kind of talk about different ways that people can give back yes. during the holidays.
Yes.
So I know that was something that you kind of wanted to mention as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't, you know, it'd be very hard to come on a podcast and talking about food without, you know, acknowledging that so many people are going without these days. So just make sure that we are all donating to our local food banks. There's so many grocery stores that have boxes that you can donate. One thing that I notice as I do volunteer and help sort through food, check the expiration dates on the things in your pantry. We find things from 2008 and, you know, we can't give that to people. So making sure that things are, the expiration dates are up to date and you're giving people the food that's fresh and what they deserve. And also just support your local food pantries in general. Things like diapers are always in need, a lot of personal care items. And then I believe the resource is like 2-on-1 Wisconsin. They will have a full website full of food banks or other resources that families may need this time of year.
Yeah. I think that sometimes people kind of, you forget about it mm-hmm. or you don't even know where to find it.
Yeah.
You know, if you do a quick Google search, you can find some resources, but it might be kind of just flood you with so many. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A couple, I don't know if these, I mean, some of these are national, but you have Hunger Task Force.
Yes.
So they do food drives and they accept donations. And then the Salvation Army does the Absolutely. Toy shop. And so you can drop off toy donations year round at their distribution center. And then Children's Wisconsin will accept toy donations year round. So yeah. kind of, you know, things you can think about with obviously food. A lot of people are hungry right now and in mm-hmm. need. And then you also have toy drives for kids that won't get toys for Christmas.
Right.
So those are kind of ways that you can kind of look to give back.
Yeah. Another easy way is like when you walk into the door to the grocery store, you can look up your local food pantry and they will have a list of everything they need too. So whether that's canned goods, like Kelly said, diapers, deodorants, toothbrush, toothpaste, all the good foods. You could do it while you're grocery shopping and then just drop it off on your way back. So that way you don't even have to leave your house, gather stuff there, and then drive to drop it off. You can literally do it while you're grocery shopping too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, you said you volunteer.
I do. Yeah, there's a local to me. It's called Rooted in Rising, and they do everything from affordable housing to food to jackets to toys to you name it. They're super involved in their community, and there's so many things like that in our community. That's just really important to keep an eye on. And if you can't donate time or money, you know, they do accept so many other things that we can always do. I mean, a lot of our local parishes will have resources too. So just making sure that we're keeping those in mind this time of year.
Yeah. And just remember your neighbors too. Maybe if you notice that someone's struggling, bring them over a nice little packaged up meal.
So, yeah. Well, these are amazing tips. Thank you so much for sharing the resources. Thanks for sharing some of your secrets. I am going to be impressing so many people with my homemade butter and homemade whipped cream.
Yeah.
People are not going to recognize me anymore.
I really do have a lot of respect for influencers like you because half the time I'm looking for recipes, it's on Instagram or TikTok. So definitely going to be using some of yours from now on.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, thank you so much. How can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at cookingwithkelly or TikTok cookingwith.kelly. Or just kind of follow in advance. There's so many incredible Wisconsin food bloggers that you can kind of keep an eye out on. And there's so many amazing recipes and things happening. So, yeah.
Awesome. Amazing. This went so fast. Oh, yeah. My gosh. All right. Well, cabin listeners, that is all we have for you today. If you celebrate Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
The Cabin is also brought to you by the WCA Group Health Trust. Serving local governments and school districts, the WCA Group Health Trust partners closely with members to fulfill their employee health benefit obligations in a fiscally responsible manner. Learn more at WCAGHT.org.
Enbridge actively invests in projects that foster job creation and contribute to Wisconsin's economy. The Line 5 Segment Relocation Project will create 700 family-supporting union jobs and generate over $100 million in construction-related local spending. That's in addition to $35 million in annual property taxes and more than $27 million in total wages paid Wisconsin-based employees. Enbridge is allocating $46 million in project spending for work with Native American-owned businesses and training and hiring tribal members for at least 10% of the Line 5 construction workforce. Learn more at enbridge.com/L5WIS.
Hey, cabin listeners, the holidays are coming up fast, and if you're looking to share your love for Wisconsin this season, we've got just the place. Head to shop.discoverwisconsin.com and browse our lineup of cozy long sleeves, crew necks, hoodies, and tees, plus holiday-inspired gifts, stocking stuffers, and locally made goods you won't find anywhere else. Whether you're shopping for the ultimate road tripper or someone who just can't get enough of Wisconsin, you'll find something for everyone on your list. And right now, you can take 15% off your order when you use code CABIN at checkout. Shop local this winter. Visit shop.discoverwisconsin.com. And don't forget to use code CABIN for 15% off your holiday order. All right, cabin listeners, we are back with a behind-the-scenes look of an upcoming Discover Wisconsin episode here with Brett, the producer. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Good, Brett. Okay, so this episode on Plover, Wisconsin is coming out streaming November 26th and then broadcast November 29th and 30th. So what can people expect? What was your favorite part about filming in Plover?
I was pleasantly surprised. There's huge agricultural scene there, a lot of natural beauty. It's a lot of water as well. They have a lot of waterways. So we went out fishing, fly fishing, went out on a trail, mountain biking, you know, did a little disc golfing on the side too. Went in the Food and Farm Exploration Center. So there's a lot jammed in there.
Were you working or are you just having fun?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the answer. Oh, yeah.
Well, you mentioned fly fishing. Every time I've gone fly fishing, I've never caught anything. Did you catch anything? Yes. Or is that a spoiler?
Yes. Oh. Well, it's a running joke at Discover Wisconsin that anytime we go fishing, we can't catch anything. So my expectations were very low, especially for trout, because they're extremely skittish and hard to catch. But we did actually catch it. And so, pretty major, major win.
And who was the host for this one? Eric?
Yeah.
Eric. Okay. So vibes were high the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he, by the end of it, he learned how to fly fish. It was pretty amazing. He was like casting and catching fish, and he actually caught a fish. It was pretty amazing.
Wow.
Sweet. What else can people expect from this episode besides the outdoor stuff? Or is that kind of the premise of this one?
We did a race car track there. Let's see, we did a little bit of biking as well on like more of like a paved trail. So it's got a little something for, you know, everyone, outdoor enthusiasts, people we have, you know, went to restaurants and stuff as well.
I was gonna say, any restaurants that really stood out to you?
Yeah, there's one that's in the Farm and Food Exploration Center, and like, so I honestly, anytime I'm going up the highway now, I'll detour to hit that place. It's like all like local sourced, just really good sandwiches.
Yeah.
And I appreciate a good sandwich.
I love that. I've done several shoots where I like fall in love with a restaurant. And then anytime I'm even remotely in the area, I'll just like make it. I'm like, oh, okay, this is a little bit out of my way, but I know this is going to be really good.
Yep. I am the same way.
Yeah, well, we 100%. I think we actually had somebody on that was from that area. Or actually, she had just talked about cheese curds with cranberry dipping sauce in Plover.
Oh, yeah.
That place, I think it was Mikey's or something. It shut down, but they're going to be reopening it. So if you're in the Plover area, you could also check out the cheese curds with the cranberry dipping sauce.
I think that the whole area is just kind of blossoming at this point and coming into its own.
Yeah, what
and
was
finding its like self identity and mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice.
What was the most surprising thing or something you learned on the shoot?
I think just how much stuff there is for like families to do. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have brought my own kids, because like we went to like Felt's Farm and they had like a huge outdoor play area for the kids. You can go up to the cows, watch them make cheese. The Food and Farm Exploration Center is like a multi-level, just massive complex that you literally could spend all day in. And from like little kids, you know, going like pushing like grocery carts and getting stuff in there to like basically adults. Yeah. There's something there that for all levels.
Yeah. How long did this one take you to film?
I think it's just a standard like 6 days, okay. 4 to 6 days.
You were talking about making, you're watching people make cheese.
I was going to ask that.
That kind of actually fits in with the theme of this episode. We were just kind of doing, you know, talking about Thanksgiving, and our guest, who, if you listen to this episode, you just heard it, yeah. but told us about making our own butter, making our own whipping cream. And then, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of cool that, you know, in Wisconsin, especially, you can actually see this stuff. What does that process look like?
It's really strange that you'd be talking about cheese on this.
So crazy.
So weird. We don't ever do anything with
cheese.
Okay,
but if you heard, but if you heard about making your own butter, like you could just go make your own butter right now.
Yeah.
Ah, damn. I
mean, to be fair,
I want
to
live that life.
I could too, but it reminded me that I could do my, like, that I could make my own butter. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Cheese is something special.
Was it smelly? Sometimes it's really smelly.
No.
When I did cheese making for an episode, they were making blue cheese. That was stinky.
And like the Felt's Farm thing, it's like a window you look in see, but you can see all the cows and like the milking area, and cool. But you can see the cheesemaker doing his thing, and
you're not actually in there with them.
No, I don't think that'd be safe.
When they were milking the cows, were they had machines, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of hand milking going on.
No,
these
I
days.
Know. I'm kind of like bummed about it. Whenever I've gone to cow milking demonstrations, I'm like, let's see the old fashioned. But
yeah, they don't.
Yeah,
I think they do it at like state fair sometimes now. If they, I don't.
They have
really
the machines there because I just. Oh, saw do it. They? Yeah. Yeah. But hey, that's the 2025 baby. All right,
sweet
but,
plover.
There'll be robots soon. You know, humanoid robots.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by and telling us about this episode. And as a reminder, you can watch this on streaming November 26th or on broadcast November 29th and 30th.
Check
See you
it
next
out.
Week.
Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by Andrea Belke and Megan Christian and produced by Andrea Belke. Audio engineering and video teasers by Nick Cardarella and Megan Christian, with social media by Megan Christian. Production support by Gavin McLean. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover MediaWorks. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com and don't forget to leave a review.